Now, I'm delighted to head stateside to Augusta to join and speak with Nathan Montgomery, who is the chairman of the Augusta Hurling Club. Nathan, nice to speak to you. This would traditionally be an extremely busy weekend in Augusta with the Masters week just about to commence, but very different this time around.
Yeah, very different. Augusta is actually closed all essential businesses, so there's still some restaurants that are open and grocery stores and gas stations, but other than that, it's a complete ghost town.
Just explain how big this week would traditionally be for Augusta, for business people, and for the community in general.
Well, this week it affects more than just the Masters itself. Obviously, it affects more than just the restaurants in town. My family even was affected by it because my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law both rent their houses out, and you know, they've lost thousands of dollars worth of income that they were counting on and that they count on every year during this time.
So, as you said there, it isn't just the frontline businesses; it ripples right throughout the economy there. But is the viewpoint that the call that was made a couple of weeks ago was the right call to make? Is everybody feeling yes, the right decision was made?
Yeah, I think at this point, everybody's kind of on the same page. Initially, some folks were obviously upset that they weren't going to get that revenue this year. But at this point, I think we're all thankful that everyone from overseas is coming and, you know, sharing the coronavirus with Augusta.
Okay, so just paint a picture for me of what life is like in downtown Augusta at this moment in time.
I've only seen pictures. I haven't been in weeks, obviously, since we've been told to kind of lock down. But I've seen pictures, and there's literally no one there, no cars in the street, no one walking the streets. It's just dead completely. Last time I was there was maybe about a month ago, and it was lively, and it was just when the coronavirus first started, and everyone was obviously kind of scared, but we were still out and about. But at this point, there's no one out.
Okay, talk to me about the state in general, the state of Georgia in terms of coronavirus. Obviously, here in Ireland, we're seeing all the huge figures in New York and New Jersey in particular, and the nightly press conferences with Donald Trump. What about the situation in your state?
So it's growing every day in Augusta. Last I heard was mid 200 cases. But we're being more affected in Atlanta, because Atlanta is the big hub for air travel internationally. So they kind of got hit pretty hard. So the majority of our cases are in Atlanta, and that's probably about three hours travel time from Augusta. But here we're still around 300 cases in Augusta.
And in your case, Nathan, are you working from home? Are you allowed out to the shop, to go for a walk, to go to a park, all of those things that we would have all taken for granted 4 or 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm working from home. I've been working from home for about 2 or 3 weeks now. I do telemedicine, so I've been extra busy with developing mobile apps for coronavirus research. So we're real heavy there. But as far as parks, to my knowledge, they're open until 6 p.m., and we kind of have a curfew at 6 p.m. and no one's allowed to be out. But they were open all day, every day until yesterday is when they implemented the curfew. So it's obviously getting worse and worse here.
You mentioned there your day job sounds fascinating. Tell us a bit more about that.
I do telemedicine. I work for the Advanced Technology Research Center. TATRIC is the name of it. But I do telemedicine. I make mobile apps that can communicate with users and their providers or their nurses or whatever it may be.
Okay, so you're playing some small part anyway in the battle against coronavirus.
Yeah. I implemented a thermometer that you can input your readings, and a pulse oximeter this week where you can implement your readings and then send it up to the nurses so they can monitor you and see how you're doing. It's pretty neat stuff.
Brilliant. Very good. Now, in relation, we're speaking, of course, you're the chairperson of the Augusta Hurling Club. What sort of an Irish community have you got in Augusta?
For a while we weren't even really connected to the Irish community. It was unfortunate, but we've in the past year we've kind of got our foot in the door with the Augusta, what is it, American Irish Society, I think is what it's called. I forget their official name, but we've got two Irish folks that play on the team with us, and hoping to bring in more this year.
Okay, now tell me a bit about the club itself. When, how did Augusta become a hotbed of hurling?
Chris, our founder, just traveled to Ireland just on a trip, and he was fortunate enough to see one of the playoff games. I think it was Wexford versus somebody in, I think, early, when was it, maybe 2013. But then he came back, and he decided to start up a club, and he played with the Atlanta club for a few years, and then a few of his friends were interested in Augusta, and he started up. When I started, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we only had 4 to 6 people at practice. We were just doing what we could, and now we're up to around 40 or 50 members in the Augusta Club.
That is absolutely incredible. And as you said, the fact that you don't have an affiliation per se with the Irish community makes it even all the more remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, everyone just loves the game. The game of hurling is obviously the best game, in my opinion. It brings in a little bit of every sport that we play here in America, whether it be lacrosse or baseball, field hockey or soccer, So everybody kind of has a strong suit that they can lean towards or lean on when they first get started.
So, what's the age profile of the people that are playing in the club?
We are a very casual club. We've been asked to play in like championships and all that, but we're not very interested in that. So the age group is anywhere from, I think our youngest is maybe, how old is he? Maybe 8 or 9. So we have a kids program that we're just getting started. And then all the way up to close to 70. We have older people coming out who just like to get a little bit of exercise and socialize and stuff like that. So very casual club.
Very good. And in terms of coaching, how do you learn the game?
That's the hardest part in my opinion. Chris, since he's been playing for 10 years or so now, he's kind of our official coach. But I'll spend all week on YouTube watching coaching videos and whatnot, and then take it over to the club and see how we can implement with that with our guys. Our skill levels aren't quite as good as you guys in Ireland, but we do what we can.
Okay, and in terms then of sourcing the Hurleys themselves, how do you manage that?
It's very tough as well. I think some guys from the Greenville and Charleston clubs, they gave us a few hurls, and we still have a bag of helmets that were given to us. Now we've just now started getting a few sponsors and stuff like that, so that we can buy new sticks and new helmets and all that.
Okay, it's an incredible story in an incredible time. So you're at a stage now with 40, 50 members in 2020. What's the objective? What's the aim now for you as chairman?
Oh man, I feel kind of like I'm ready to retire. Honestly, we've put so much work into the club in the past 2 years that our initial goal was to just play the game. So now we have a three team league that we play in the spring, in the fall, and in the summer. So we've actually picked up Gaelic football in the summer. So we'll play a 7-game Gaelic football league in the summer, and then a 7-game hurling league in the spring and the fall. So I guess my goal is to get enough members to where we can have a 4-team league, and we wouldn't have a round robin every week. We would be able to play on weeks and off weeks.
That's fantastic. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You guys take care, and obviously stay safe and stay healthy.